I want to read a familiar portion of Scripture this evening. And if you have your Bible, New Testament with you, we're going to read from John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. May God bless our hearts. This reading from his holy word. A speech is a wonderful thing. Sometimes, however, it seems to be used to confuse things rather than to make them clear. And sportsmen and commentators are renowned for their ability to confuse. One legendary motor racing commentator is famous in this area. And here are a few examples of the comments that he made when he was in full flow. He said on one occasion, either that car is stationary or it's moving. Think about that. And then he said, the leading car is absolutely unique except for the one behind it, which is identical. Try and work that one out. And others weren't far behind in their uncanny ability to twist language. Said one famous golfer, I owe a lot to my parents, especially my mother and father. And then a winning jockey once described a race course as being as flat as a billiard ball. One of my favorites comes from a champion boxer who said, sure, there have been injuries and death in boxing, but none too serious. And you know, we smile and we can manage to work out what the various speakers meant to say. But isn't it good to listen to someone who says what they mean and mean what they say? And that is the wonderful thing about the Bible. For in it, we read what God has said, and we discover that he means what he says. And in our Bible reading this evening, the Lord Jesus is on his way to the cross. The disciples were fearful about their future. And Thomas the doubter asked the question, how can we know the way? How can we begin the day and end the day knowing the way? And the Lord Jesus makes this confident declaration. Thomas, I am the way. Thomas, I am the truth. Thomas, I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. These words have been referred to as the alphabet of salvation, and they provide us with a complete and concise summary of the gospel, which is the good news. And they address our three greatest needs in life. We all need direction. We all need certainty. We all need hope as we try to negotiate our way through life and plot our course through a world of disappointments, heartaches, pain, and tears. And these words of the Savior form the basis of God's answer to the big questions about life and death and eternity. So I want us to explore them this evening, and for a few moments to amplify their meaning, and hopefully as we do so, we will not fail to be impressed by their simplicity and at the same time, their accuracy. The message that they bring to our hearts and minds is all about this man called Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the one who introduces himself to John on the Isle of Patmos as the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is the alphabet out of which God frames every sentence and every paragraph and every chapter of his salvation story. And as we listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in response to Thomas's question, what are the things that we can learn? What are the things which God wants to teach us? Well, I think the first is simply this: in a world without direction, he is the way. In a world without direction, he is the way. Our Lord reminds Thomas and all of us here tonight of a truth that we must never ignore, and it's this: that he, that is the Lord Jesus, is the only way to God. He is the only way to his Father's house. He is not one way among many ways. He is the only way. The one and only way to God is through Jesus Christ, his Son. And we can see and sense that Jesus says this without any hint of apology or any fear of contradiction. And this is where the rubber hits the road. This is where the offense is caused. There is no offense caused when someone suggests that Jesus is a way amongst many ways, or that Jesus embodies a certain aspect of the truth which has other valid aspects, or that Jesus is a life amidst many other lives. Here is the exclusive claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not know that, but on the outskirts of London stands the impressive Hampton Court, built in the days of Henry VIII, and one of the most famous hedges in the world is located within the grounds. The maze covers a third of an acre and contains half a mile of paths. And it's incredibly easy to get lost. People flock to it from all over the world, and each year thousands of them are happy to be lost in it. And when they cannot find the way out, an attendant will come to their aid. He will ask the question, "Are you lost?" And the response he waits for is, "Yes." And then he will say, "Well, if you're lost, follow me." The Bible tells us, and human experience confirms it, that a massive barrier exists between God and man. And that barrier is called sin. But God, in his great plan of salvation, has removed that barrier through the death of his Son on the cross and opened for all who believe a way back to God. There is a very striking section in the film Good Morning Vietnam. Robin Williams plays the part of an American Forces DJ, and during his show one day, he plays Louis Armstrong's great song, "What a Wonderful World." If you're addicted sometimes to Radio 4, you might hear it played on Desert Island Disc, along with one of the most famous requests, significantly, Frank Sinatra's "I Did It My Way." But you know, at the very moment the song begins, the camera shifts away from the DJ studio to the outside world. And the pictures on the screen tell a different story from the words of the song. There are scenes from Vietnam, napalm destroying whole villages, children on fire screaming in agony with terror written all over their faces. And all the time, Louis sings, "I see skies of blue, and I say to myself, what a wonderful world." It's a poignant image. Yes, it is a wonderful world, and we've been enjoying the beauty of God's wonderful world in creation in this glorious weather. It's a world that a loving God has made. And yet alongside that beauty and all that is good, there is much that is very bad. It's a world in which man fights with his fellow man. A world in which we refer to the drug scene or the knife culture. And we humans are intent on destroying ourselves through international warfare and economic injustice and much more. It's a tragic, and something within tells us that it shouldn't be like this. We're left asking the question tonight, what has gone wrong with our world? What has spoiled this wonderful world of ours? Some years ago, there was a series of letters in the Times on the subject, what is wrong with our world? And the shortest and most perceptive answer came from a writer called G.K. Chesterton. Here's what he said, "Dear sir, I am yours sincerely, G.K. Chesterton." And if we're honest with ourselves, can we seriously suggest that he's wrong in his conclusions? One day the Lord Jesus left the crowd and entered the house of his disciples. And they asked him about this. And Jesus replied by saying this, "Nothing outside a man makes him unclean, but what goes into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." And he said, what comes out of a man is what makes him sinful, unfit for the presence of God. For from without of man's heart comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, greed, malice, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. And Jesus said, all these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. And you and I tonight, because of sin, are unclean. And we're unfit for the presence of God. 1966 is a year when English football commentators will never let us forget. Every time they have the opportunity to raise it, they will raise it. And one of football's greatest heroes was a man called Bobby Moore, who was captain of the England football team that won the World Cup in 1966. I remember watching that match with some friends. And shortly before Bobby Moore died of cancer a few years ago, he was asked what it felt like to go up those famous steps of the old Wembley Stadium to receive the Jules Rimet Trophy from Her Majesty the Queen. It must have been a wonderful experience to do that in front of a home crowd. His reply was very significant. He said it was terrifying. Because he says, as I was going up the steps to the balcony, I saw that the Queen was wearing some beautiful white gloves. And I looked at my hands and realized that they were covered in Wembley mud. And I thought, how can I shake hands with her like this? I'll make her gloves dirty. And if you ever see the old footage, you will notice that he can be seen desperately wiping his hands against his shorts as he tries to get them clean. He was concerned about his approach to the Queen of the land. And if he was worried about approaching the Queen with muddy hands and her white gloves, how much more should we be concerned as we approach the King of Kings who dwells in eternal light? You see, God doesn't just have white gloves. He is perfectly white all over. He is a holy God. And we don't just have dirty hands. We are unclean from within and from without. And tonight we need a Savior. And the fact that Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross is the ultimate proof that there is no other way. And here's how the Apostle Paul puts it in Galatians 2 and 21. He says, if righteousness were to come through the law, then Christ died in vain. If being righteous before God had anything to do with me, then Jesus Christ should never have died on the cross. In a world without direction, he is the way. I'm reminded of a verse I learned as a young boy. I take him at his word indeed. Christ died for sinners, this I read. For in my heart I find a need of him to be my Savior. Is that your experience tonight? Do you sense a need within your heart? There is no peace, there is no joy, there is no contentment. There is no sense of safety or security. You cannot lay your head on the pillow knowing that it is well between you and God tonight. Jesus says, I am the way. In a world without direction, he's the way. But notice secondly tonight, in a world without certainty, he's the truth. In a world without certainty, he's the truth. 2,000 years ago, Pilate asked the question, what is truth? We live in an age of spin. We live in an age when people are economical with the truth. And our generation cannot always claim that the camera never lies because of modern technology. That may not necessarily be the case. And so we ask the question, where can we find truth? And the answer to that question is simply this, in God and in God alone. He has always been and always will be the source of truth. Paul writing to Titus reminds us the eternal God cannot lie. In John chapter 6, we read that the eternal Spirit is the Spirit of truth who will always guide us in the truth. And here the eternal Son tells us he is the truth. Jesus tells us the truth about God. Jesus tells us the truth about himself. Jesus tells us the truth about you, me, and all men. That God is holy. That man is sinful. That Christ is needful. We were reminding ourselves this morning that Jesus Christ is alive. That he's alive and well, and he has conquered sin and death and the grave. And our Creator God, who made us for himself, in spite of our sinful ways, loves us and longs that we might experience that love through receiving his forgiveness. Here's a lesson which many of us found hard to learn. And the lesson is simply this, we cannot save ourselves. That can be very offensive. That can be alarming to many people when they are told you cannot save yourself. You cannot go to heaven on your own steam. You haven't the ability within yourself to be made righteous before a holy God. People find it hard to buy into that. They find it difficult to accept that. Because it attacks their pride and it humbles them. And sometimes to be humbled is a very painful thing. But we are fallen and feeble creatures. We have failed to meet God's righteous requirements because of sin. And we need a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And he is the one who comes to fallen man in his misery and need. The Son of God who gave a sinless life for our sinful lives that we might be forgiven and made fit for God's heavenly home. Listen to what Jesus is saying tonight. He says, I am the way. In a world without direction, he's the way. He said, I am the truth in a world without certainty. He's the truth. And thirdly, in a world without hope, he is the life. Maybe this evening, deep within your heart, there is a sense of the need of a hope, a yearning for something better. I think if we're honest, we must confess we all have a sense for the need of hope. It's been said that we can live 40 days without food, 8 days without water. A minute without air, but only a few seconds without hope. We all need hope. But where can we find it? Where can we find it? Many live in a world of shattered dreams and unfulfilled hopes. Where do we find hope in the midst of despair and distress and disappointment? Where do we find hope when we feel like packing it in, running away? Where do we find hope when we're struggling with pain and sorrow and illness and grief? Where do we find hope when we're fearing the worst, when we feel rejected by family and friends? Where do we find hope when we say goodbye to those we have loved so long? Well, here is how the Bible defines and spells hope. J-E-S-U-S. He is the hope that brings peace and joy. He is the hope that brings a sense of purpose in this life. He is the hope and the passport to heaven for all eternity. He is the hope that outlasts and outshines every other hope. And the good news of the Savior can be summed up in three words. He is able. He is able. He is able to save unto the uttermost all who come unto God through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession. He is able to do more, abundantly more, than we can ask or ever think. One of the ancient fathers said, without the way, there's no going. Without the truth, there's no knowing. And without the life, there is no growing. I read and heard recently of a businessman who was traveling on the London Underground. He was having difficulty getting around. And a fellow passenger observed that he was encountering some problems as he tried to follow the map inside the carriage above the window. And if you've ever traveled on the Underground, you know where that map is. And there he was, sitting with his diary opened and looking at his map intently. And then after a while, he would look up at the map on the carriage wall. It became evident after a short time that he was in trouble. It turned out that he was a German gentleman on business in London and that his diary was a French diary and the map in his diary was a map of the Paris metro system. You get the picture? There he was trying to make his way around the London Underground with the map of the Paris metro system. The map didn't make sense of the maze he was in. Men and women, young people tonight, you and I are on a different journey. All of us are trying to navigate the very intricate journey of life. And there are no scarcity of maps. But there is no map to be compared with God's map. I remember as a young boy learning these words, I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I. Wicked men won't believe it, but we will gladly receive it. We will travel together, my Bible and I. And the Bible is not just a map among many maps. The Bible is not just the best map. The Bible is the only map. And when you and I read it with sincere hearts and submissive minds, the written word will direct us to the Lord Jesus, who is the living word. And we will hear him speak these words. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. You see, in a world without direction, he is still the way. In a world without certainty, he alone is the truth. In a world without hope, he is the life. I trust tonight that you're on the way. and not in the way. I trust tonight that you're sure in the truth. And I trust tonight that you're not enduring God's salvation, but enjoying it as you walk in fellowship with him day after day. May God bless his word to all our hearts.